You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Folks, it's time for our legal segment. Joining us right now, he is our legal expert, one of Rhode Island's top attorneys. It is attorney Tim Dodd. And Tim, why don't we start off with, I thought it was an interesting story in the Boston Globe where they wrote about inside the hung jury for the Providence police officer charged with the beating.
Yes, it's very interesting. You don't usually get stories that go inside, you know, what went on in the jury room, what the vote was, what the jurors were thinking. It seems to me it used to be more common, but I think with social media and the 24-hour news cycle, I think a lot of jurors just want to do their civic duty and walk away and not grind on it, unless it's a high-profile case where, you know, they're on Today Show or something looking for national attention and exposure for their 15 minutes of fame. But in this case with this guy Hanley, he was tried in the district court. Your listeners will remember he's the officer who he had this gentleman who was a minority on the ground, handcuffed. I think he was on his stomach or his side. And Hanley is alleged to have been kicking him and really assaulting him unnecessarily. The guy was on the ground and handcuffed. Trial happens in first in the district court. District court judge finds Hanley guilty and concludes, I believe the words were the Hanley's testimony was, I think he's the judge said something like an utter fabrication. Hanley takes an appeal. First trial in Superior Court, hung jury. AG's office said, we're going to try this guy again. Second trial, hung jury. This one's a little different. 12 people on the jury, 11 vote to convict. There was one holdout who would not vote to convict. Kept saying, it's not guilty, I'm not convinced, I'm not convinced. Some of the jurors now who spoke with the media said, well, you know, several of the members of the jury had close family members or associates who were members of law enforcement. And this lone holdout had a family member or associate who was in law enforcement. So you can't say that just because this one holdout had family or friends in law enforcement, that was the sole motivation, because others similarly situated on this jury with law enforcement connections voted to convict. Now, Rhode Island has the necessity of a unanimous jury finding. So if it's 11 against one, it's hung. It's a hung jury. There will not be a conviction. There will not be an acquittal. Other jurisdictions have, I believe, majority votes on some types of criminal cases, but Rhode Island is traditional. It's got to be unanimous, and a unanimous jury is consistent with the notion that a conviction has to be obtained by the prosecution by proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So at least one juror here had, we presume, reasonable doubt. The AG's office has insisted they will retry this case again as soon as can be done before a Superior Court judge. It's also interesting that Hanley can't be terminated. The department wants to terminate him. That's their pronouncement. But because Hanley is entitled to a Leibor hearing, that does not go forward until after his criminal case concludes, either with a successful conviction or a successful determination that he is not guilty. Right now, he's suspended without pay. He still gets, I believe, his medical and dental. If he is convicted, well, then the city will proceed to attempt to terminate his employment. That would go to a Leibor hearing. If he is found not guilty, he would get all of his back pay and be reinstated to his position and rank with no loss of seniority or position. So for this individual, Hanley, He has a lot riding on this, and he's got little to lose in terms of litigating this thing, because should he win, he gets a big windfall in back pay. If he loses, it looks like he's kind of doomed to lose anyways. I think 20 years ago, he would never have been convicted, because jurors were not so hip to the notion of excessive use of force by police officers. Ever since the Rodney King case, where that was one of the first high-profile cases caught on video,
yep.
We're over and over seeing videos of officers using clear excessive force, and in other cases, something that at first blush might look excessive, but when you really parse the video, officers many times are acquitted because things don't always look as they really appear on video at first blush, as we've seen in many cases.
Right.
But people are hip to the fact that this happens with police officers from time to time.
Yep.
And maybe more from time to time in certain cities and amongst certain populations. So I think people are more willing to look at an officer and find that the force is excessive. So this case will be tried again. I know the AG will never give this one up. They're going to push. They're going to go for it again. They came very close, 11-1. They need one more person on their side to convince, and then the next case they get a conviction. Only time will tell.
Tim Dodd, on this case, I would imagine the union is the one paying all the legal, so Handley's kind of along for the ride on this. Would that be correct?
He has little to lose here,
yeah,
in terms of pushing. If he were to plead guilty, he's all done. He's
right.
Going to get fired. He's not going to get that back pay,
right,
and all the other benefits that go along with it.
Is it, as we look at this, does it seem that when they were screening and questioning the jurors, that the AG's office missed that one that got on the jury that basically held up the conviction?
Well, that's a really interesting question and a real good point, because in Rhode Island, lawyers get to what we call voir dire,
right,
the jury. In other jurisdictions, the judge will do it. Now, in this case, it's clear that from what we're reading, that more than one juror had family or associates involved in law enforcement. And for whatever reason, the prosecution elected to keep those individuals on the jury and not to strike them from the jury panel for cause. Picking a jury is not an exact science. It's
right,
really, really tricky to try to, both sides are trying to get jurors that they think would be on their side or could be convinced to be on their side, or at least don't have some prejudice or bias which will hurt their presentation. It looks like the prosecution actually did a pretty good job, because of the 12 jurors, they picked 11, even some with law enforcement contacts,
right,
that voted to convict. You don't always catch everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, one might presume that a certain type of individual, you don't get to ask an extensive amount of questions of the jurors. You can't,
sure,
drill down too far. You make your best educated guess. So I guess on this one, for whatever reason, this holdout juror surprised, I'm sure, both sides. Sometimes jurors go in there with a predetermined motive. We've seen that in different cases where, you know, after the fact, other jurors will indicate that, you know, juror X wanted to get on this panel because they knew it was going to be a high profile case. And
right,
they wanted to make a political point.
Sure.
I don't think that's the case here.
Yeah.
But voir dire is a really tricky thing. Unless,
yeah,
you have a jury consultant who's trying to do a psychological assessment of each juror, and that does happen in high-profile cases where you would hire a jury consultant to try to increase the odds of you getting a favorable jury. the AGs, you might say, missed one of the 12, and I guess you have to run the table and get 12 out of 12.
Sure.
But that's voir dire. It's really tricky to pick a jury. Sometimes you're surprised in a good way, sometimes in a negative way. It's really hard to get inside the jurors' heads as you're trying to pick them.
Folks, coming up, we're going to talk about the North Providence arrests and then also the Karen Reed case, all ahead right here with Attorney Tim Dodd on The John DePietro Show. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994. That's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year. I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. We're speaking with our legal expert, Attorney Tim Dodd. Tim, next story, North Providence, a youth basketball game. And what is interesting, and just I think to clarify, is there are four individuals now that have been charged with disorderly conduct. And what's interesting is with the four arrested, as embarrassing as it is, none of them are pressing charges because people were asking why weren't there assault charges included here.
Well, I think this is a generally embarrassing case for everyone involved in it. I mean, this is ridiculous that you've got a basketball game for kids age 5 to 7 years old. The coach makes a bad call, allegedly. Excuse me, the ref, I'm sorry.
Well, no, you were right. You were right. They don't even have refs. They're so young. It's the coaches that then do the game.
One of the coaches made what was purported to be a bad call.
Yeah.
The other coach objects and challenges. The two coaches get into an argument about a call regarding kids 5 to 7 who probably don't even know the rules of the game. They start arguing, and two individuals from the stands decide they're going to be heroes and come try to cool temperatures and restore order. They all get involved in what's apparently an assault by and between all four of these people. Now, you're right. No one wants to press assault charges. I believe they are being charged, at least for the moment, with disorderly conduct by North Providence Police Department. Disorderly conduct is a petty misdemeanor. Assuming these guys have no criminal records, these cases would be disposed of in a very in a manner that will not affect them. They won't have a criminal record or anything of the like, assuming they've got no priors. This just seems to be another example of people being unable to control themselves. We see it on airplanes now all the time.
Right.
People acting up. Now we got people acting up at a youth basketball game for 5 to 7 year olds. I mean, what is kind of example is that setting for these kids
right.
watching but, the adults in the room?
But Tim Dodd, legally, one of the coaches, supposedly a parent, charged out of the stand and punched the coach. He could have, I mean, it's something he decided not to, but he could have, in that scenario, asked that assault charges be brought. Instead, no one wanted to press charges, so they did disorderly conduct. But I want people to understand, if you're at a game like this and a parent or coach comes up and slugs you, that's assault, correct?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is, yes.
So,
and I think these adults all behaving badly. They probably all know each other in some form
right.
or fashion, and they probably all realize that this is an absurd, out-of-hand anger situation boiling over for preposterous reasons and thought the better of pressing charges because they would have all been charged with assault.
Okay.
They'd all be in court. They'd
yep.
all be embarrassed beyond belief that they had acted so foolishly. I think North Providence is wise to step in, at least try to bring some charges. I mean, an example has to be set.
Understood.
Now if there's the potential, I don't want to say overreaction, but now North Providence is considering beefing up security at these types of games, would
Ridiculous.
potentially bring in law enforcement. Now the cops would like to get the overtime
Yeah.
and get the detail pay, but the fact that we might have to bring in cops or security people to supervise the adults, literally to supervise the adults at a game for 5-year-olds,
Wow.
I think is a terrible comment on today's society. It's just out of control.
Tim Dodd, with the Karen Reed case, they had a hearing, and boy, the defense is still going aggressive, making motions, trying to get people disqualified. But what are we to make as the judge seemingly is trying to keep things in order in the trial, which is now scheduled for April. But what are we to make of the latest Karen Reed hearing?
Well, the defense, they're making headlines, that's for sure. The defense is throwing everything at the wall. Maybe something will stick. As we've said many times, there's a difference between making allegations and suppositions, pre-trial versus what you can actually get into evidence. But the most recent twist in this very twisty case is defense counsel, as they're trying to get the prosecutors thrown off the case, or in the alternative, have the charges dismissed outright. Two new things that have been discussed by the defense is they make reference to an accident reconstruction, excuse me, not an accident reconstructionist, but like a pa forensic pathologist for the state, who allegedly says that the injuries to the deceased here, to the victim, that those injuries are inconsistent with the damage to Karen Reed's vehicle. So the defense says that vehicle could not have caused these damages. Thus, this decedent could not have been struck in a manner that killed him by the Reed vehicle. Now, that argument was made in court. The judge takes it under advisement. Basically, the prosecution says that the defense is just trying to obfuscate things and play a little bit of three-card Monty with the court. But they never really rebutted what the defense was saying about this expert report that the vehicle with the damage associated with it could not have caused injuries to the decedent. That's one. The other is now there's some innuendo that one of the witnesses, not Karen Reed, but one of the witnesses for the prosecution, in the hours after this individual was allegedly hit and killed in the driveway, was
Right.
Googling, how long can you live,
How long to die in the cold? Right.
yes, exactly.
Yep.
So that would impute that there was some knowledge by people perhaps in the house
Yep.
that something's going on out there, and that there's some knowledge before Karen Reed ever showed up in the morning with one of her friends that these individuals, potential witnesses, knew something had happened, knew this guy was out there, and were Googling how long can a guy stay alive out in the cold.
Yeah.
There's also the continuing specter of the amount of coordination between the U.S. Attorney's Office and the district court prosecutors, and the defense struggling to get cooperation from the prosecutors and struggling to get orders from the court requiring the prosecution to turn over all relevant materials, some of which might be exculpatory in nature, meaning material that might tend to show the innocence potentially of Karen Reed. Obviously, prosecutors have to turn over exculpatory material. And in this case, I think the defense is implying that the prosecution is attempting to hold back potentially exculpatory material and hold it back long enough so that this case starts, the trial starts as the judge is pushing for, as you say, and trying to have this trial go forward before the defense ever gets the material they're seeking. The defense doesn't even know if it exists, how much of it exists, if it'll be helpful, if it'll be harmful. And they keep pressing for this as the judge is saying, we're going to be starting trial in a few weeks.
Folks, coming up, we're going to talk about another case of ICE apparently detaining someone that was caught in Rhode Island. All ahead, our legal expert, attorney Tim Dodd, right here on The John DePietro Show. AEP Services, they take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link. Experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail. They have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative landscape. It adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today. AEP Services. 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote, AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. We're speaking with our legal expert. It's attorney Tim Dodd. Tim, boy, ICE in Boston, they are relentless with their press releases. What are we to make, Tim Dodd? A lot of people are asking, what is going on in Rhode Island? Where then now we have another, this time, someone child indecency. And it turns out that if they had not swooped in, there's just a lot of seemingly discussion about that Rhode Island doesn't have the detainer on these individuals, and then therefore ICE, this is yet another one that they had to scoop in, and this time they got a guy who had been taken into custody in Rumford.
Well, it's going to be an ongoing problem. It's going to be a continuing problem because of Rhode Island's attitude towards people who are here illegally and not wanting to report to ICE that they're here illegally and not wanting to honor ICE detainers and letting people out of prison or out of the courts and not so informing ICE. I mean, that's a policy decision that's being made from the top down. And it's, I believe, supported, let's say, by this governor, and it's been supported by previous governors, and there's nothing happening at the State House to try to upend this attitude of being a sanctuary state or a sanctuary cities within the state, where there's a, it's not a secret, it's a manifesto that we're not going to cooperate with ICE. We're not going to honor ICE detainers. It creates chaos. You've got people here. We've had the one thing a couple of few weeks ago that was a national headline. We got this one. And you know there's going to be more. And these things are going to be popping up in this state and really all over the country. And any state that's a sanctuary state or they've got sanctuary cities are going to see more and more of these problems. Now, you know, certain politicians can say, well, of all the number of crimes, how many are really being committed by these people here illegally? You can't blame the illegals for all the crime that's happening. But to the extent illegals are involved in crime or criminal activity or alleged criminal activity, it's a policy decision which I would think would embolden people who are here illegally to act in a way that they don't have to really worry about the consequences so much of their action if they're in a place like Rhode Island.
Right.
The message that it sends to the public, I think, would make the average citizen feel less secure and less safe. I think law enforcement is frustrated because they can arrest people and bring them in, And the system's going to put these guys, men or women, back on the street. It seems to be a downward spiral in terms of civil disorder and the failure of the system to properly apprehend and detain, if necessary, people here illegally. There's a difference in my view between people who are legally are citizens and people who are here illegally.
Yeah.
I mean, people want to say they're newcomers. People want to say that they're, you know, immigrants. It's a crime to be here in the manner that they're here.
Yeah.
It's a crime that's not being enforced at the national level. It's not being enforced or prosecuted at the local level. I'm not casting judgment on what these folks are doing. What's their motivation? What are they trying to escape from? But you do have laws on the books which are not being enforced.
Right.
You know, Congress wants to pass a new immigration law which has lots of problems in its drafting, and it's not going to secure the border crisis issue. It's just an untenable situation, and it's from the top down in terms of national administration, state administration. It's a policy that's allowing these things to occur, and they're going to keep occurring until the policies change.
I can tell you, people are alarmed that seemingly that our local officials are not on the same page as ICE in Boston. That this is the third press release they've put out highlighting they're scooping them up in Rhode Island and they're not getting the type of cooperation. Tim Dodd, what are we to make of these bills that would monitor noise, traffic in Providence? Now they've made their way up to the State House. People need to understand, many times just because things make their way and they're discussed up there doesn't mean it would be put into law. But there just seems to be a lot of, well, seemingly it'd be tough to enforce.
It will be tough to enforce, and it's very big brotherish. I mean, lots of what's going on with these license cameras and speed traps that are just on camera is very big brotherish and should make people uncomfortable. Most cities and towns have a noise ordinance in place.
Yep.
And those noise ordinances are wonderful, and they'll say, you know, you can only have things at certain decibels during the day and at certain decibels at night. And there's all sorts of standards for live music, for motorcycles, for automobiles, for someone sitting out in the park playing the drums, whatever the case might be. But the enforcement is difficult. You know, police departments will say we don't have the appropriate decibel equipment, or they don't want to spend police hours in court prosecuting people. Not that it's a prosecution, it would be a civil fine for exceeding the decibels that are prescribed by law for certain activities. Let's assume there's 10 cars coming down the road and one of them is excessively loud. Or there's three motorcycles and one is excessively loud. How do you pinpoint if you've got some sort of surveillance equipment not being manned by a police officer? Which of those vehicles was the one that was making the loud noise? It's very difficult to enforce these things. It seems to me, if you have a situation where you know there's lots of, let's say, modified cars with loud mufflers or motorcycles, you put a cop out there with a decibel meter, just like you put a cop out there with a radar gun, and you pinpoint the appropriate motorcycle or automobile, and you cite them. I know every summer in Newport, you know, when you get off the over the Newport Bridge and you take that first exit that dumps you down into Newport, they've got that big flashing sign, portable sign saying, you know, noise ordinance up to $1,000 fine. I've never seen a cop out there trying to enforce it. Narragansett, same thing in the summer. You get a lot of motorcycles and things of that nature. oh, they put signs up, we have a noise ordinance. You never see a cop out there enforcing it. It seems to me a cop with a decibel gun would be the appropriate way to do it versus some remote electronic device trying to enforce that statute. I think that would be much more difficult to enforce than a cop with a decibel meter doing his or her job. And it seems like most cities and towns talk the talk with noise ordinances, but they don't take the steps and utilize the manpower to enforce them.
Finally, Tim Dodd, in Warwick, police have arrested a workman accused of abusing a child. They were called a Hasbro. Boy was admitted seriously bodily injury, and they arrested this 43-year-old Geraldo Casillas, first-degree child abuse. And what I just think is interesting about that is, you know, the old thing of people would talk about that the parents would get out the belt or, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't recall the last time that we saw a first degree and so bad at Hasbro that they actually contacted police.
John, it's another troubling sign of the times. We see more and more of individuals who are, quote-unquote, parents physically abusing children in horrific ways. This guy will be prosecuted. This is a capital felony. It's interesting that he was released on $5,000 surety bail and a no contact order with this child. The judge hears these cases and makes a decision on bail, and the factors to consider is the defendant a flight risk, and is the defendant a danger to the community? Now, I guess this individual is not necessarily a flight risk, and if he has no priors, he might not be deemed a danger to the community. He might be deemed a danger to the child that he was abusing. So there's an NCO between him and his child, and is released on surety bail. I'm not here to quibble with the court's decision. I don't know which judge made the decision, you know, which courtroom it was. But, you know, judges have to make these decisions every day. And I think the public has to respect those decisions. Unfortunately, sometimes those decisions make headlines. Right now, we've got a guy who's released on bail. He's posted money to keep himself out of jail. If he should be accused of committing another crime while he's on bail, he'll go back to jail. And this sounds like a horrific case of first-degree child abuse will proceed through the criminal justice system. And we'll have to wait to see if he has any legitimate defense or how this shakes out.
Folks, again, he is our legal expert. It's attorney Tim Dodd. Tim, excellent job as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John. Take care.
Propane Plus, for all your propane needs, call Propane Plus today, heating and cooling. In Rhode Island, call the propane experts at 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. For Propane Plus, three generations, they're available 24/7, and they're going to serve you for a long time. At Propane Plus, you can also log on to their website. It's very user-friendly, propaneplus.com. And then you just type in your zip code, whether it's residential or commercial. Always there for you, dedicated, providing exceptional service. It's Propane Plus, energy for everyone. Call them today. In Rhode Island, call Propane Plus, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings, look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling, contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ Drywall, Plaster, Home Improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall, Plaster, and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. I want to turn to Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe. He writes, this is in Roadmap now. Fewer than one in three Rhode Islanders say they approved of how Governor Dan McKee was handling his job during the month of January, but he still has a leg up on President Biden's approval rating in the state. According to a new poll, the survey, the COVID-19 Consortium Understanding the Public's Policy Preferences Across the State, pegged McKee's approval rating at 30%, narrowly ahead of Biden's 28%. Now, this is in Rhode Island, mind you. The consortium, which includes researchers from Harvard, Northeastern, Rutgers, Northwestern, started conducting state-by-state surveys early in the pandemic. Pollsters used to ask voters about the approval rating, how their state's governor handling COVID-19. And now they ask for overall approval. Now, he writes, context, the most recent online survey questioned 357 Rhode Islanders between December 21st and January 29th. Coincides the first month closure westbound side of the Washington Bridge. Interestingly, McKee's approval rating actually improved 1 percentage point from a similar poll in November. The national average for gubernatorial approval in January was 36% in this poll. So McKee has been performing slightly worse than other governors, but he did post the lowest approval rating among New England governors. He also writes, it's worth noting we haven't seen much local polling on McKee since he was sworn in for a full four-year term, January of last year, 2023. Morning Quarterly, which asked voters every state about the approval ratings for their governors and U.S. senators, pegged McKee's job approval rating at 45% at the end of 2023. Well, I'm going to, spoiler alert, there's no way he's at 45%. Now, this is very telling. Biden at 28%, McKee at 30%. I think that is interesting. We don't know where it breaks out. I can tell you that I don't think people feel that way now that we're in March. January, we don't know exactly when the polling was done, but it's very possible the polling was done before, you know, things really broke in mid to really late January that we learned the latest about the bridge fiasco. And now, as we're into March and still awaiting word, his approval ratings seemingly have got worse. The mood of the public. Now, Biden at 28%. Again, people need to understand that this is 28% in a blue state. President Biden now. That he will most likely win. I know some people don't understand that, but Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, you know, Biden will carry all of those states. They're also planning on New York, New Jersey. It's the Northeast blue corridor that unfortunately we're kind of settled into here. But what's significant here is think of that. Biden at 28%, McKee at 30%. I think they're both lower now. I don't believe Governor McKee's at a 30% approval rating. I think it would also be interesting, and I don't know, you know, they don't have the polling. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that our local media, let's just say if you had Channel 10 and 12, if Channel 12 uses Joe Fleming, but it'd be interesting if the Providence Journal, the Boston Globe, Channel 10, Channel 12, Channel 6 seems to be a little bit in flux right now. But if you had the four of them and they pulled their resources and then so then if therefore a third party could do more polling, I think that would be really interesting because we need more polling. And as a result of the expense of it, no one seems to be going out and doing more of it. Now, Brown University used to do more. So, but you certainly don't get that as much. But I would be very curious, to say the least, to see where Governor McKee comes out. I don't think he's even at 30%. And in the East Bay, I'd love to see East Bay polling of Governor McKee. And what I mean is East Providence, Barrington, Bristol, into Warren, anywhere around there, especially East Providence in Barrington and Bristol, how their Governor McKee's approval rating in regards, especially with the bridge, which is seemingly getting worse. Now, here it is. He's still silent. They're not saying anything. The clock is ticking now. It's very suspect that Governor McKee is not, he certainly is invisible this week. Invisible is more like it. And so what exactly is happening? You know, this is not someone, I'm not saying this is not an easy decision. And this isn't someone who seemingly is ready to take the rap here on what's about to happen. I mean, I think they're going to have to announce they need to build a new bridge, as pathetic, unacceptable as this is. And it almost seems like he's trying to find a, I mean, we don't know, but seemingly he's like trying to find a way to worm out of it. But he's the governor. He's the one that's in charge, right? The buck's supposed to stop with him. But right now, unless there's some other explanation, the governor's almost like in hiding, Governor McGreed, because he doesn't want to come out and face the wrath of having to announce that they're going to have to build a new bridge. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. You need a good plumber? J&B Plumbing. Call them today, 401-743-9153. J&B Plumbing. They can repair damaged water pipes. They can repair clogged pipelines. They can replace a water heater. All your plumbing needs. Call Jim right now at J&B Plumbing. You know, plumbing is something, and suddenly you have an emergency, and then you need a plumber right away. You want to go with the experienced plumbers at J&B Plumbing. 401-743-9153. Family-run business. Now, I share their Facebook page you can find for easy reference, but they specialize plumbing, heating, drain cleaning, most importantly, all problem-solving, quality workmanship, and emergency service. It's J&B Plumbing. You need a good plumber? I got a great one. J&B. Call them today. Call them right now. 401-743-9153. Remember, they can repair damaged water pipes, repair a clogged pipeline, replace water heaters. J&B Plumbing. 401-743-9153. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. It's interesting to watch what's happening right now, where you have Governor McKee is trying to in a very slippery fashion, run a sanctuary state. And then you have ICE Boston, who, what are they doing? They're arresting all these illegals that are committing crimes in the area. And they're highlighting that they're arresting these illegals that are dangerous, that are being keep being released because Governor McKee releases them. So now we have another example of this. I think it's fantastic. This is Channel 10's version of the story.
Back in custody tonight. The arrest is part of a nationwide string of undocumented foreign sex offenders. Thanks for joining us. I'm Molly Levine. Local immigration authorities arrested the Nigerian citizen in Rumford for indecent solicitation of a child. The Night Team's Leanna Folk is live in Rumford with those details. Leanna?
Molly, the 45-year-old man was released 2 years ago after serving 6 months on a 5-year sentence. He'll now go before a judge to determine whether or not he will be removed from the United States.
If you don't belong here, you don't belong here. Simple as that.
Deportation officers with enforcement removal operations in Boston releasing this photo of a Nigerian citizen taken into custody on February 15th in Rumford.
Fortunately, we're seeing it more and more, and we're going to see more of it.
His arrest is connected to a nationwide sting operation of 275 undocumented immigrants nationwide convicted of some form of sexual violence.
It seems like our country is getting worse.
The Boston field office says the 45-year-old man, who they did not not name, entered the U.S. under a tourist visa in May 2017, but never returned home. In June 2019, he was arrested and charged with indecent solicitation of a child in Rumford. May 2022, he was convicted and sentenced to 5 years in prison, the court later suspending that sentence to time served.
How do you undo the crime that was done to this person? It's going to be with them for, the rest of their life. Certain people, they just let them go. Someone like that shouldn't be let go. They should be in jail.
In 2023, ICE made over 73,000 arrests of non-citizens with a criminal history and removed more than 142,000. Some Rumford residents say they feel safer knowing these individuals are off the streets.
I think we need to do a lot better job scrutinizing who these people are and why they're here.
But tell us, it's more a case of bad policy than bad people.
Anybody could commit a crime like that. But when a person does commit a crime like that, that's serious. They can't just let him go.
We reached out to the Attorney General's office for more information on this case. Still waiting to hear back. As for that Nigerian national, he's currently in ICE custody pending a hearing before an immigration judge. Live in Rumford, Leanna Falk, NBC 10 News, 19.
Thank God for ICE. At least they're doing their job, unlike Governor McKee. This is total insanity. This is ridiculous. These people have no business being here. This is a battle right now in this state, this area, and Massachusetts going through it as well. I'm looking at the latest now. Governor Healey's going to issue pardons for cannabis possession. Well, how much possession are we talking about? So there are still people that were moving, some pounds of weed. So how much are they going to be moving on things like that? Now, you want to talk about tone deaf. Senate committee advances firearm storage legislation. So at the Rhode Island State House, they continue to move forward to try to restrict firearms, as McKee is allowing the state to operate as a sanctuary state. Same thing with Governor Healey, as a matter of fact. The Rhode Island Senate Judiciary passed legislation requiring gun owners safely store their firearms when not in use. Proposal states firearms must be kept in a locked container equipped with a tamper-resistant mechanic lock that renders the weapon inoperable. It would make it unsafe storage of firearms a civil offense, punishable up to $250 first offense, $1,000 for the second. Again, Massachusetts, Connecticut already have laws on the books. It's not that major, and you shouldn't have unsecured guns, as a matter of fact. Under current law, gun owners can be fined $1,000 if a loaded firearm is left within a child's reach, but only if that child injures themselves or others. But what I think why gun owners are so upset about this is that they're putting gun owners at risk. As Brenda Jacobs said, you're going to leave people defenseless. You have to securely store the firearm, has to be rendered inoperable except by the legal owner. How are you going to do that? How are you going to enforce that? It's actually not enforceable, but it's as if the whole thing, and let me play some of the sound. Channel 12 has a package on this.
And that's beyond unacceptable. The safe storage bill also is an infringement, especially on women, because think about how much time it takes to be able to access a safe, especially if your house is being intruded or if, again, you're a domestic violence survivor.
And the bill is expected to take a vote by the full Senate next week. Reporting live in Providence this morning, Kristen Burnell, 12 News.
Now, the thing about that, how do you enforce that? Okay, you're a gun owner, and you keep, like a lot of people do, you have a weapon right by your bedside. So if you hear anything in the middle of the night, it's loaded, and it's, good to go and ready for action. How are they going to enforce it? Now, what this seemingly has to do, but it's another, each session, they want to just put up more legislation against gun owners. That's, really what it seems to be. I agree, it doesn't seem like something that could readily be enforced, but it seems to be more, they just want to have a pattern that every session that they're up on Smith Hill, they just continue to pass more gun legislation. That's really what it seems to be about. Less about, could you enforce that? clearly, listen, no responsible gun owner, no one wants a child getting their hands on a loaded weapon. And this has to do with someone where a child. Let me play. There's a little bit more of the
along with several other gun sound reform bills introduced. But the firearm safe storage bill was a main topic of discussion. Under this bill, the unsafe storage of a firearm would be a civil offense punishable by a fine of up to $250 for the first offense. Currently, Rhode Islanders are only punished if a child gets a hold of an improperly stored gun and hurts or kills somebody. Senate leadership tells 12 News that this piece of legislation makes the most sense, despite pushback from other legislators and local gun lobbyists who spoke out against the bill.
We know that children access firearms all the time. We know that more than 80% of children shooting in their schools is because a child had access to a gun that they weren't supposed to have.
If you have to lock a gun up, you do not have the ability to defend yourself in an instant when it may be required.
You know, again, this business of there's not been. I know they want a school shooting in Rhode Island. There hasn't been a school shooting in Rhode Island, but this is it's constant drip, drip, drip pressure of passing gun legislation bills. That's really the goal of this whole thing. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency service is available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists. Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln, you can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. Your dream kitchen is waiting for you. Dreammaker Kitchen and Bath. Call them today. Stop in and see them. They're right in Warwick. What a difference it's going to make for your home. Call Dreammaker Kitchen and Bath today, 401-433-7272. Their design center, right? Greenwich Avenue in Warwick, right next to Kochi, right over near Crown Plaza. Dreammaker Bath and Kitchen. Full-service remodeling company. What a difference. Take a look at what your home, your kitchen could look like. And their codes of value with Dreammaker, Bath and Kitchen. Respect, integrity, customer focus. They do it all. Transitions from dreams into reality with you every step of the way. Dreammaker. They take you one-stop shop from concept to completion, the remodeling process. Dreammaker Kitchen and Bath. What a difference it can be for your home. Call them, 401-433-7272, and look for them on Facebook. Check out DePietro.com. We have merchandise, all the shows, video, exclusive stories waiting for you right there at DePietro.com.